God. Do you want to grab a seat there? Then just going to dive into God's word together this morning. And then we're going to come back and we're going to worship a little bit more. Going back to a scripture that actually I brought a few weeks ago, but I felt God wanted to highlight something specifically from it today. So it's actually Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18 through to 23. It says this, it says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above, everyone say far above. Far above. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Paul says there are three big things that we need to know in our life, if you believe this morning. If you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart, if he's your Savior and he's your Lord this morning, there are three big things that each one of us needs to know. One is hope. Two is the inheritance of the riches that we have. And three, and this is the one I want to focus on today, is the power of God that is in our lives. The power of God that is in our lives. It's this whole thing really about knowing. Paul says there that we would know, that you may know that hope, that you may know those glorious riches, that inheritance that you have in Jesus, that you may know his incomparably great power for us who believe. That word know there, I touched on this last time, but that word know there is so much more than to know in a mental kind of way. It's so much more than just to know the facts. It's more than just knowing up here. That word know is actually so full of meaning. We're actually going to unpack the meaning of some of the words that are in this scriptures because it really begins to open it up in a really, I think, exciting way. I was having one of those experiences today where this week, where I'm sitting preparing that message at my computer, and as God's showing me stuff, I'm just like, oh, that's so good. You know, as you begin to see like what is here, as God just opens your eyes and you see what's written before you just in a fresh way. And this whole thing about knowing, it means to know. It means to experience, if we can go on to the next slide, please. It means to experience. It means to understand. It means to be aware of and be sure of. It's more than just I know up top. It's I know in the realms of I'm experiencing this in my life. I'm understanding this. And this is an ongoing process, by the way. I'm becoming more and more aware of this. I am sure of this. So when we talk about knowing the power of God in our lives, it's knowing more than just kind of, yeah, I know God is powerful. I know that God is powerful up here. It's actually experiencing how powerful God is. It's experiencing the power of God in our life. It's actually coming into an increasing understanding of the power of God in your life. It's becoming more and more aware of the power of God in your life, being more and more sure that you have it. John Piper says this, to know is to have a conscious experience. It's the difference between knowing honey is honey because of the label on the jar and knowing it's honey because of tasting it. This is what we're talking about this morning. Oh yeah, it's more than just, yeah, I know it's the power of God because I know it's the power. It's I'm experiencing, I'm tasting the power of God at work. See, Paul doesn't actually pray that we would get power. He's not praying, God, would you put power in them? He's actually praying specifically that we would understand the power we already have. The power that the Amplified Version of the Bible says is in and for us who believe. Where is the power of God this morning? It is in you. If you're a believer this morning, the power of God is in you. And the power of God is for you this morning. So he's not praying, God, would you put power in them? I know sometimes we sing songs like, more power You know, and we pray God more power. But actually, friends, I believe that God wants to bring us into an understanding of that which he has already put within you. The power of God that is in you and that is for you because you believe. So the issue this morning isn't that I don't have this power in my life. The issue is that Paul's saying we actually need to become more and more aware. We need to experience, we need to become more aware of, more sure of the power that is already within us. The same power that Paul said raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So it's not that I don't have it, it's just that I don't really understand all that I have. I'm on a journey of discovery. I don't think that ever stops. We'll see later on that Paul prays a prayer some 25 years into his Christian walk and relationship with God and says that he wants to know the power of his resurrection. So this ongoing thing in our life of increasingly becoming aware of what Jesus has put on the inside of us. In verse 18, the prayer is not put it in them. The prayer is enlighten them. You'll see that in verse 18. Enlighten, open the eyes of their heart. Enlighten this truth in their life. Enlighten the fact that they have hope. Enlighten the fact that they have a glorious inheritance in Jesus Christ. Enlighten the fact that the power of God is within them. It is in us and for us who believe. Actually, what I want to put to us this morning, this is what I want to believe God for this morning, is not so much more power, it's a revelation of the power of God that's already within you. Paul prays for that. He prays for a revelation of the power of God that's already within you. So we're going to pray. Praise God. So let's pray. Lord, I want to pray in the name of Jesus for a revelation of the power of God that you've put within us. God, I'll try and teach it, I'll try and preach it, but nothing is better than when it's revealed to you, when it's revealed to us by you. Lord Jesus, so I'm just praying this morning that, Lord, as we go into your word, as we go through this, this enlightening will happen in our life. That word there, that kind of like we will see. Oh God, I really pray that you'll illuminate the truth of the power that's within us this morning, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Lord, I pray we'll experience it and we'll become aware of it. And God, I just want to lean on a message. I want to pray for revelation. God, just reveal to us today the incomparably great power for us who believe in Jesus' name. Amen. So to enlighten, it means to illuminate, it means to light up, it means to cause to shine, to brighten, to become clear, to make to see. That's what God wants to do. He wants to illuminate the truth that the power of God is in your life. He wants to light it up. He wants it to shine. He wants it to become clearer in your life. He wants you to be able to see. He wants to switch the lights on, if it were. He's praying, God, let them know they have it. Let them know, let them experience it and understand it. You know, if I was to ask you this morning, do you believe that God is powerful? I would dare to believe that the vast majority would say so. I believe that God is powerful. I believe in the power of God. A few weeks ago, I was sharing a story about an encounter I had with God at one event at the end of the meeting. For me personally, I think by the day I came to Jesus Christ, it's one of two most significant encounters I've had in my life. And the other one was back in 2007. This one was August Bank Holiday weekend. And the guy was preaching, and the whole thing was nothing to do with power. It's just about surrendering your life and laying your life down afresh and offering yourself to Jesus. And there's tremendous power in doing that. Just bringing your life back to him, just saying, Lord, I just surrender my life. I give my all to you. And I shared on the Sunday evening the other week and a little bit on Sunday morning about a couple of things that God showed me and said to me. But I didn't share everything that God said to me and showed me. See, the second part of what happened to me on that day, and I know this is a personal experience, but I just want to invite you into a journey that God's been taking me through. Having responded to the word of God, because I believe, as I said the other week, that response opens the door to encounter. We hear the word preached, it's whether we respond to what we're hearing, we'll often decide whether we have an encounter or not. But having responded to that, having knelt at the front, having been walked away and felt God say, no, you need prayer, that's still an issue in your life. There's some issues to do with fear in my life. And God was saying, you need to go back. That needs breaking. And I went back and I got prayed for. I was kind of doing laps of this big tent, you know, getting prayer and then going back and like getting prayer again. But I just wanted to just give my life afresh to Jesus. And as I went to the back and stood at the back, I just began to worship and God said a couple of things to me. Now, I know that God speaks to people in different ways, right? So I don't want you to think that just because the way God communicated this to me somehow means that I've got some kind of like better version of a relationship with God than you have. God speaks to different people in different ways. And I hope this will make sense. Some people, I don't know if you'll think this is out there or not, but I'm going to share it with you. I'm stood at the back, I'm praying, God's saying a couple of things to me that were really breaking me. I'm a mixture of snot and tears. I'm just completely undone in the presence of God. On my own, at the back, the meeting's really quite, like a lot of people, you know, had to go. There's not a lot of people there. I'm not with anyone else. I'm just stood at the back worshiping Jesus. As I'm worshiping, it's just been about surrendering to him. It's been about him saying that I need to hear his voice and listen for his voice. It's been about him saying to me, I need to find him in every area of my life, to seek him and to search for him. And I'm just, oh God, and I'm just completely broken. And then all of a sudden, it's like I see this like vision, and it's like of myself, and I'm stood in this strong wind. And I'm stood in a strong wind, and I've like, you know, like when you see, like I've got my arm over my in front of my eyes like this, and I'm pressing into, and this wind is just like, it's just like, wow, it's so powerful. I'm just like this, and it's like blowing all around me, and it's just like, and this sense that comes to me is, it's just like, God, you're so powerful. You're so powerful, and I'm just like, I believe you're so powerful. But then, as I'm standing like this, this image changes, and this wind that's all around me, and I can only tell you, friends, what God showed me. This wind that's all around me suddenly starts to begin to swell, and it changes from blowing all around me to blowing through me. And now it's going through me, and God says to me these words, my power is in you. My power is in you. And I'm like, I'm just, oh God. I just can't do anything other than heave and cry. I'm just stirred in the back in this encounter with God. And God is saying to me, son, you need to believe. My power is in you. I believe that God, you're all powerful. I see it all around me. But God's saying to me, son, you've got to believe. My power is in you. This is what Paul is praying for us, that a revelation that I believe can transform our prayer lives. I believe can transform our faith levels. I believe can decrease our fear levels. I believe can break through our insecurities and doubts and self-doubts and impossibilities and issues. I believe we need a revelation of the power of God that Paul says in the Amplified Version is in you and for you. It's in you and it's for you. The Passion Translation of verse 19 says, the prayer is that we would continually experience. There it is. It's not like just, we need to continually experience. I love that God's wired like this. I love the fact that God's not like that. There's a load of information. Just make your way through the textbook. I love the fact that God is like, taste and see that I'm good. You know, don't just drown in a sea of information. I want you to experience this in your life. I don't just want you to know I'm love, I want you to experience my love. I don't want you to know I'm peace, I want you to know my peace. Experience my peace. And now here we are with power. And we need to continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available. There it is now. It's available to us. It's not beyond. It's available to us through faith. It's there. It's not like I'm kind of, it's available. I just need to learn more about how to access it. In Philippians 3:10, as I said earlier on, this is the scripture that Paul prayed, I want to know Christ and what? And experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to experience the power that raised him from the dead. Some like commentators, I say, some 25 years into his Christian walk. We're talking about the Apostle Paul. I mean, a man who saw God do phenomenal things, and yet his prayer is still, I want to know and I want to experience the mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead. Now, if anyone else has ever been in a situation like this, just just kind of acknowledge this with me, if you would, this morning, so I just don't know that I'm alone, because this is why I believe I needed this personal revelation that Paul's praying for all of us who love and believe in Jesus. Anyone else ever find themselves in a situation and think, I don't know how I'm going to get through this? Anyone ever find themselves in a situation and think, I don't know how I'm going to get through this? How I'm going to get over this? Anyone else ever find themselves struggling with some doubts, fears, lack of faith, insecurities, temptations? Just me? Anyone else ever find themselves in a situation where a need comes across their path, or a person comes across their path, and you just don't feel capable or able to really make a difference? Oh my life, what on earth can we do here? What hope is there here? What change is there here? It's like that need is too big for me. I hope that somebody else can kind of meet it. I hope that there might be something. I feel incapable. I feel unable. You know, let's level up. Let's be honest from this pulpit. I have my insecurities. I have my fears. I have my doubts. I have my struggles. You know, for every story I tell you where I've seen God do something, I've stepped out in courage, there's been plenty of stories where I've not, where fear has gone and I've bottled it. But what I know is that, friends, a revelation of the power of God that is in you will make a world of difference. What is in you and for you, it will help our faith levels to rise and our fear levels to decrease. It will help us with our doubts and fears and lack of faith and insecurities, and when we're battling with temptation. It will help us when needs come across our path. We think, gosh, this person's need in their life seems so big. It will help us. Friends, I want you to hear this morning. You've got more in you than you think. You've got more in you than you realize. We just need God to help us see that. You know, I love the story of Paul often tells it, as in our pastor Paul now, not the apostle Paul. But Paul, you know, he often tells a story of John G. Lake, you know, a great healing evangelist. A man who, I mean, gosh, if you read his books, the things he saw God do, you're just like... And whole cities that came to health and was acknowledged by ridiculous figures of people who were healed. And yet, the story is told in one of his books, and Paul's often told us, that every morning he would stand in front of the mirror, put on his tie, look in the mirror, point to the mirror as he looked at himself, and said, God lives in that man. And everywhere that man goes, God goes with him. Friends, I want us to dare to believe what a revelation and an understanding of that simple truth could do in our lives. That as you set foot into your workplace on Monday morning, or that circle of friends, or wherever you're going to go, or that need comes across your path, if we begin to understand God lives in that man, or God lives in that woman, and everywhere he goes, or she goes, God goes with him. Wow. You're not half as rubbish and as incapable as the devil tells you you are or makes you think you are. Because the power of God is in you and the power of God is for you. Passion translation of that full verse 19 and 20. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of the immense power as it works through you. Do you know God wants to make you an advertisement of his immense power? He wants you to be an advertisement. He wants to work through you. You know, I think sometimes we think, me? No, God wants to work through someone else. No. His power is in you. His power is for you. And his power is available to you. The issue isn't whether he's in you or not this morning, and that power's in you or not, if you believe it's in you. The problem is, God's in there, but we've got to learn to let him out. As John C. Maxwell said this, he said these words, be a river, not a reservoir. God wants to flow through your life. He doesn't want you just to contain all that he's done. He wants to flow through your life. What we have should flow through us to others. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers, not reservoirs, rivers of living water. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 20 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Been dwelling on that a lot lately, because you see, for some people talking comes easy. Yeah, I can rabbit on with the best of them. Probably talk too much sometimes. Oh, some people are nodding, okay. So. Just going back to that message a few weeks ago on forgiveness right now, okay? You know, I can rabbit on with the best. Other people go, man, I really find it hard to talk. Really struggle. I don't know what the words are. I don't know how to get the words out. I don't know how to say what needs to be said. Whether you can talk for England or you find it difficult to talk, that's not really the issue. Because it says the kingdom's not about how well you can talk. It's a matter of power. God wants to make you an advertisement of his power. So I want to encourage you today. Let's fly through this now. Let's unpack some of these words. Number one, I want to encourage you today. There is no power like the power that's in you. There is no power like the power that's in you. The AV talks about the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. We're going to fly through some definitions. I hope this builds you up and encourages you this morning. I want to send you out feeling 10 feet tall in Jesus' name, okay? So his exceeding greatness of his power to usward, the AV said, who believe. That word exceeding is the word, okay, hooperbalo. Okay, can you say that with me this morning? Hooperbalo. Okay, now hooperbalo means this. It means his power, okay, it goes beyond, it surpasses any other power that there is. Okay, it actually means specifically this. If you look up the Greek for it, okay, in case anyone was wondering why I brought this ball to church with me today, okay, it actually means, the actual definition means this. It means to surpass in throwing. It means to throw over or beyond anything. It means to throw beyond the usual mark, to excel and to pass. So what I'm saying to you this morning is this. However far any other power in this world can go, good, bad, evil or human, the word of God to you this morning is this, that his power is hooperbalo. And it might go to that point, but it's limited. And the power of God goes way beyond. It surpasses the power. Any other power in this world might bring you to this point, but the word is saying God's power surpasses that. It excels that. It goes beyond that. It is greater than that. It is hooperbalo. See, I love what Dwayne White says. He says this. He says, Clark Kent might be Superman, but Jesus Christ is Hooperman. He goes beyond. Transform into a life beyond limits. Every other power in this world has its limits. Jesus Christ surpasses it. The power of God that's in you can go beyond it. Good, bad, evil, human, whatever it might be, he is able to continually go beyond that. Continually in our life, Paul says, he writes that in the present tense, continually his power is greater. Continually his power can go beyond the power of hopelessness, beyond the power of discouragement, beyond the power of depression, beyond the power of despair, beyond the power of sin, beyond the power of sickness. It is hooperbalo. Jesus Christ is Hooperman. Now to him, Ephesians 3 verse 20 says, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. I'm so tempted to keep this up here and keep fiddling, but I better not. That word greatness there is the word megathos. Do you know what it means? Mega. The power of God in you and for you and available to you is mega. So it's one, power that goes beyond and surpasses. Two, it's mega power. Three, it's dynamic power. That word power is the word dynamis. You've heard it said before. We get the word dynamic from it. We get the word dynamite from it. There is dynamic power in you this morning. There is dynamite. Explosive power in you. All I really know about is this. When someone sets off a bunch of dynamite, it changes the landscape. It changes things. I believe that you carry a power within you that is explosive. I believe it can change lives, circumstances, situations, workplaces, schools, communities, nations. The power of God is in you. God, open our eyes. God, reveal that truth to us. God, show us how true that is. It means strength and ability. It means the power for performing miracles. Power that's able to do mighty works. So this power goes beyond one. It surpasses any other power. Two, it's mega. Three, it's dynamic. Four, it's active. The New King James Version talks about the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That word working, the word energia, energy we get from that. It means to be effectual in its working, full of energy in its operation, and strong. This is what you carry in you. It energizes you. It energizes what you do. How many people here know the difference of a day when you wake up full of energy and a day when you ain't got none? There's a world of difference. You know, friends, there's a world of difference between your walk with Jesus when you feel like you've got no energy and when you feel like you've got some, sorry. When you're going into those situations, you feel full of energy. God wants you to know that. He wants to energize your daily life. He wants to energize you as you go into them circumstances. He wants you to know this power works, that it's effectual in its operation, that it's strong. So this power, one, goes beyond. Two, it's mega. Three, it's dynamic. Four, it works. Five, it's almighty. Verse 19 says, it's whose power? His incomparably great power and mighty strength. That word mighty carries the whole meaning of authority and rule. It is to have dominion. It is to rule and govern and control. It is to dominate. God wants us to know we have dominion power in our life. Jesus says all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. When the kingdom of God come, as we go through the New Testament, where the kingdom of God come, other kingdoms had to move out of the way. Things had to change. Powers had to bend the knee. Things had to move because there's authority and rule in his power, in his kingdom. He dominates. Paul says, you want to know how to measure just how great this power that's in you and for you and available to you is? That power, verse 19 to 20, is the same. Would you say that with me this morning? Is the same. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. In you, for you, available to you, is not power that's like the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. I think it might have been Paul the other week who was talking about, like, sometimes people think that some get the standard version and some get the deluxe version of, like, salvation, or I want to link that to power. You know, when I sometimes go on iTunes to buy an album, you know, it's like you can buy the bog standard version or the deluxe version. You know, you have that little moment. Do I want the standard one or do I want the deluxe one? I think it's like sometimes in this whole area, we just think it's like someone's got the deluxe version of power. You know, I've just got the standard one. They've got the deluxe one. They've got the one that comes with all the whistles and bells and extras. And I've just got the standard version. No. Scripture says you've got the same power as the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Friends, it might be that other people are moving in it and seeing more happen, but it's just that. God's, I just believe it's maybe a revelation. They've just learned how to access the same power that's inside of you. Don't put yourself down. Say, well, they must be deluxe and I'm just standard. No, the same power is in you. The power that broke the power of death, the power that brought Jesus Christ back to life. So Jesus says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same. How can we do the same works as Jesus? Because we've got the same power. And even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. It's the same power that the Bible says seated him Jesus at his Father's right hand in the heavenly realms. The Bible says that in Mark 14 is that Jesus is seated at the right hand of power. In the Bible, the right hand represents the place of power. It actually represents the most powerful place you can be. To be God's right hand man, the Father's right hand man, to sit at the right hand of the Father is the most powerful place you can be. And Philippians 2 says this, therefore God exalted him, Jesus, to the highest place. Would you read this with me? Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Exalted to the highest place, given the name above all other names. To sit at the right hand of the Father is to sit in the place of honor and all power and all authority. That's why the Bible says in Revelation 19:16 that Jesus is King and Lord. No. Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. That power that elevated, that put Jesus in the highest place of authority and power and honor, Paul says, is the same power that lives in you, that you carry into work tomorrow or into your world, whoever your circle of friends, wherever you go as you walk out of this place. That same power that put Jesus in the highest place is the power that's available to you. Lastly, it's the same power that set, It's the same power that set Jesus above all other powers. He's far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that's invoked, not only in the present age, but in the one to come. Paul said, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. We just read that. We carry within us a power that is greater than any earthly power, created power, angelic power, dark power, evil power, demonic power. You know the devil's not out of this world yet. One day he will be. His notice has been served. Jesus has defeated him. But the reality is that he still knocks around now, and we still have our battles and our struggles, and we still have our moments. And we still have those times in our lives when it all kicks off. But the important thing to know when it's all kicking off is Jesus Christ is greater. Jesus Christ is greater. See, Paul says he's not just above those powers. He's far above those powers. That word means he's greatly higher. He's over and above in place, rank and power. This will sound familiar. What does it mean there when it says he's far above? He's huperano. He's way above. He's way higher. His power is way higher, way greater in rank and power. Jesus is Superman. Verse 22 says, every other power is under his feet. And would you mind just coming back, band? Would you mind just coming back, please? And just pray the chords are greater than us. Rest of the band, you want to just come back and join in? That would be awesome. Been singing this song that we sung at the end of the first service a lot lately. The chorus and the bridge of it just have really actually gripped me. And it says this, it says, you are greater, Jesus. You are greater than it all. You are greater, Jesus. You are greater than it all, than it all. Grace and mercy found me. Oh, the blood of Jesus is greater. Grace and mercy found me. Oh, the blood of Jesus is greater. The bridge goes, it is finished. It is finished. Jesus, you are greater than it all. Death couldn't hold you. You rose in power. Jesus, you are greater than it all. I'm at home. I'm singing this song over and over again since that encounter with God. On that day, I've just got it near enough every day. I'm playing it. Some days I'm playing it on repeat. And I'm singing it. And God says to me, do you believe it? Do you believe it? And I'm like, God. I'm like, Jesus, I want you in my life. This has been my prayer. I want you in my life to be greater than my fears. I want you to be greater than my doubts, my self-doubts, my insecurities, my worries, my impossibilities, my sicknesses, my health, my situations. I want to be able to stand here and not just say, yeah, I know he is. I want to be able to stand here and say, I know that I know. I want to be able to stand here and say, God, I want to experience the reality of that in my life. That when that fear and self-doubt kicks in or that situation comes across my path, that I will know in that moment, he who is in me is greater than he who is in this world. When I come up against the enemy, he who is in me. When I come up against impossibility, he who is in me. I'm saying, God, I want you to be greater than every area in my life. Greater. I want to believe that. And I'm praying all the time, Jesus, I don't just want to sing this stuff. I don't just want to quote this stuff. I want my eyes to be open. I want to see. I want a revelation of the incomparably great power that's for me, because I believe. And it's in me, and it's for me, and it's available to me. God, open my eyes. God, enlighten me. God, switch the lights on. God, illuminate that truth. God, cause it to shine. Brighten it up. Bring it into focus in my life. I want to know. I want to experience it. I want to be aware of it. I want to be 100% sure of it. I want to taste it at work in my life. How powerful is the power of God in you and for you and available to you? It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that seated him at the highest place, the same power that's more powerful than any other power there is in heaven, earth, and under the earth. It's power that goes beyond and surpasses any other power. It's mega. It's dynamic. It works. It's almighty. It's in you. It's for you. It's available to you. And Paul never said, God, give it to them. He prayed, God, open their eyes so they know it's already in them. I close this morning with a piece that I recently read. It says, in one of his books, American pastor Warren Wiersbe tells of the late wealthy newspaper publisher William Randolph Hearst. He spent a fortune collecting art treasures from around the world. One day he found a description of some valuable items that he felt he must own. So he sent his agent abroad to search for them. After months of searching, the agent reported that he had finally found the treasures. They were already in Mr. Hearst's warehouse. Hearst had been searching for treasures that he already owned. You know, we need to pray. Because like William Hearst, the issue isn't that we don't have it, this power, this hope, these riches. The issue is we're not always aware of what we already possess. God's incomparably great power that's in us and for us and available to us who believe. Praise God. Why don't we stand to our feet? We're just going to